That's the sound of a calf sniffing. And that's a calf licking a microphone.
Come on, Gabby.
And that's a dairy farmer sprinkling some grain in a trough.
Hey, you.
He's James Gatfield, and this is the dairy he built with his father and brother when he was a teenager in the mid-60s.
We're one of the few dairies that still pasture the cows. We don't feedlot them all the time. They still go out on pasture like they always did. Makes it nicer for the cows.
Gatfield and his brother milk 50 cows twice a day, every day, in this little valley between Horseshoe Bend and Emmett. Up the dirt road a mile or so from the dairy, Gatfield and I sit on folding chairs in front of his house. His father built it in 1941 on the foundation his grandfather laid in 1911.
This was the original homestead right here.
Gatfields have been farming this piece of land for a century, but not for much longer.
My brothers, myself and my mother are probably the last generation that's interested in it. So farming has got so tough and so expensive anymore that it's awful hard to stay in the business. It really is.
Gatfield says things have been getting harder since the early 80s. Competition with big agribusiness and rising prices for everything from machinery to feed has made small family farms rare. But now Gatfield faces a new crisis. It's one he shares with every other dairy farmer in Idaho. In 2007, Idaho farmers were selling milk for more than $20 per 100 pounds. Those prices fell off a cliff last fall. Now they're staying below $10 per 100 pounds. That's well below the cost of production. So every dairy farmer in Idaho is losing money every day. Gatfield says he's doing better than most.
We're really just treading water. We're not making nothing, but we're not losing very fast. We're hoping the price will come up on milk, but until then, we just do what we can. We just tighten our belts.
For Gatfield, it's hardly worth doing the work, but you can't just stop milking a cow. Others are finding Gatfield's dairy barely worth the effort as well.
Dairy Gold, who we sell to, they really prefer us to produce more or have more people around because they hate to send a truck out. You know, they haven't pushed us to quit, but they're not pushing us to stay either.
Gatfield's milk buyer has to send a truck out to collect the milk every other day, and Gatfield has the only dairy in 30 miles. There used to be a lot of small dairies in this valley, but not anymore. They disappeared one by one, even as Idaho's dairy industry was booming. Over the last two decades, the number of big feedlot dairies has steadily risen in Idaho. But Gatfield thinks it's these big operations that face the most danger in the current crisis.
We don't buy any feed, so it does help on that. That's the only reason we're still milking cows. If you buy your feed, it's a lot tougher. If you raise your feed, it's still tough, but you can kind of weather the ups and downs because the cost isn't as hard written.
There seems to be some truth to Gatfield's assessment. At an Idaho Dairymen's Conference in Boise last Thursday, farmers from all over the state listened to economists lecture on the dairy crisis. The economists said it's national in scope, but it's far worse in the West than the East. The reason they give is the East still has a lot of traditional, smaller dairies. Adrian Bohr listened to those lectures. Like James Gatfield, Bohr has a family-owned dairy. But that's where the resemblance ends. Bohr owns three facilities in the Magic Valley near Jerome. They milk about 5,000 cows a day.
We're operating in the red, have been for all of 2009, and we are losing equity by the day. We're hoping that these market prices will turn around.
And what if they don't? What if this keeps up?
We'll be out of business. Every month that goes by, it's more of a concern.
How much time do you have, do you think?
I'd like to think that we could probably last through 2009, but in the later months of 2009, we need some higher milk prices or we won't be around.
And it's the same throughout the Magic Valley, Idaho's top dairy-producing area. Again, Adrian Bohr.
I'm hearing the same thing from all my neighbors. Is when is it going to turn around? When is this going to end? When is this, we can't last much longer.
It's not just farmers who are desperate for prices to go back up. Sorrento Lactalis Cheese Factory in Nampa is one of the largest milk buyers in Idaho. Jean-Claude Renault came from France to manage production. I talked with him over the roar of the processing machinery.
The price of the milk is too low for the dairy men to survive. Okay? We have to have them in good shape or stay in business, you know, for the future.
The low milk price does benefit consumers, but not by much. While farmers are only getting paid half what they did a year ago, the price of a gallon of milk in Idaho supermarkets has only dropped about 75 cents. So why have milk prices fallen so far so fast? Tomorrow on Morning Edition, we'll examine the causes and the potential solutions for Idaho's dairy crisis. For Boise State Radio, I'm Adam Cotterell. Yesterday, we introduced you to a couple of dairy farmers. James Gatfield milks 50 cows a day in Gem County.
We're really just treading water. We're not making nothing, but we're not losing very fast. We're hoping the price will come up on milk. But until then, we just do what we can. We just tighten our belts.
And Adrian Bohr milks 5,000 cows a day in Jerome County.
We're hoping that these market prices will turn around.
And what if they don't? What if this keeps up?
We'll be out of business.
50 cows or 5,000 cows, America's dairy farms are drying up, financially speaking. And the crisis is worse in western states like Idaho. It's a big contrast to a year ago when milk prices were at record highs and Idaho had become one of the country's biggest milk producers. I want to know what caused the crash in milk prices. I ask a lot of people what's behind the crisis, and the answers I get boil down to a flashback of the 1992 presidential election. It's the economy, stupid. Americans are looking for ways to trim the fat from their budgets. And a lot of that monetary fat is coming from dairy products. Dairy economist Bill Curley thinks the bulk of the problem comes from a lot further away than your local grocery store.
The difference between the dairy economy today and the dairy economy a year or a year and a half ago is the absolute evaporation of the export market for U.S. dairy products. Exports of butter, as an example, are down year-to-date 85% from where they were a year ago. Exports of cheese are down. Exports of non-fat dry milk, kind of in the 50% range or something like that. So pretty serious decline in exports.
Americans are buying less dairy, and other countries are buying a lot less dairy from us. Even some dairy products are using less dairy. If you buy a cheeseburger at a fast food restaurant, that cheese was likely never pure cheese. It's always been processed. But now it has less milk in it than ever. The same is true at most pizza places.
Everybody's looking at the profit margins. If you can serve a product with a little bit less cheese on it and you still have consumers buying, then you have increased your own profit margins.
That's Bob Nairbout. He's the executive director of the Idaho Dairymen's Association. Nairbout says identifying the solution is simple.
It's an easy equation. It's called supply and demand. Demand would be a slow increase, so we have to find a rapid way to reduce supply.
After the equation, things aren't so easy.
Disadvantage of a dairy cow is we can't put her out to pasture and say, okay, we'll milk you again when the prices come up.
Nairbout favors the formation of cooperatives, but he says dairy farmers don't always play well with others.
They're independent businessmen, and it's pretty hard to get a group of independent businessmen to do exactly what needs to be done in a quick basis.
Nairbout says California is experimenting with a supply management system showing some promise. In it, farmers have limits on what they can sell. Dairy farmer James Gatfield is nostalgic for the days when the government took an active role in stabilizing milk prices. Very small dairies, like Gatfield's, can still get government help through the MILC, Milk Income Loss Contracts Program. But the government role used to be much more hands-on.
I don't have a problem with price controls and stuff if they do it across the board, everybody. I would rather sell milk at $18 a hundred steady than I would for 21 for one time and then 10 at another time. Following strictly supply and demand, we've got a real roller coaster ride.
Bob Nairbout is not a fan of this notion.
We'd like to see the government out of agriculture.
Entirely?
We'd like to see the government out of agriculture.
Adrian Bohr has the stereotypical Western farmer's dislike of government meddling. But he's not as emphatic as Nairbout.
Direct government involvement, I'm personally not in favor of, but we utilize everything we can right now just because we've got to get this turned around.
Economist Bill Curley says the solution will be much more dramatic than co-ops or government programs.
It seems pretty clear to me we have to have a lot less cows. Maybe another 200,000 to 300,000 cows are going to have to be removed from the current dairy herd in order to get supply back in balance with demand. And I believe that's going to have to come very heavily disproportionately out of the West.
To decrease production, herds are usually culled. That's when farmers kill off a certain proportion of their stock. There has already been mass culling this year, and there may be a lot more. That could flood the beef market. Bill Curley says it will go beyond even culling.
Well, I don't think that you can do it by reducing of herds. I think you're going to do it by elimination of herds.
Curley says a lot of dairies will simply have to go. He predicts many good, viable dairies will soon be forced into liquidation. That puts a note of desperation in the Idaho Dairyman's executive director's parting words to me.
Hey, go out and buy some cheese, buy some milk, eat some pizza, go to your pizza place and tell them to put more cheese on that pizza. That's what we need.
For Boise State Radio, I'm Adam Cotterell.